two of the songs from the Smashing Pumpkins acoustic set, which they played in London last night. The only time which they actually did this acoustic set on this tour, and that's one of the reasons which we managed to get it recorded. And we're putting out another two songs later on. Those tracks that you just heard, though, Tonight's Tonight, of course, and Cupid Deluxe. And let's say two more tracks from the Smashing Pumpkins and another chat with the band coming up after the 8:30 news. Smashing Pumpkins. So, do you get much time to read? Because one of the things, as I was listening back to Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness today, is something which I don't think a lot of people have picked up on, but one of the most evocative parts of your music is obviously your own vocabulary.
Even when I was little, kids would make fun of me for using big words. I have a very literate family, and it was kind of expected in my family that you use the correct words for the correct situation, so whatever, it just seems to have translated into my adult life.
A lot of bands, I guess, make some of the best records when there's a feeling that almost the backs are against the wall. Did you feel that that was the situation when you were making the last LP?
That's a pretty valid statement. I think we work best under pressure too, and we kind of, it's not an outside pressure, it's more of an internal pressure and more of a, you know, an unsaid thing. I mean, after 8 or 9 years of we've been together, we all have, you know, self-expectations and expectations of each other. So when we say, you know, we're going to make a double record, everybody goes, holy shit.
Do you worry at any point, though, that because you are so committed to the band, that there's almost a life out there which you're missing?
Oh, we're pretty certain we're missing that life. But, you know...
And you have no regret about that?
At times you do, but, you know, we really feel that God has given us a great opportunity and to do what we want to do. Very few people can really say that. Rock music is basically for the youth, and you know, to play rock music, you yourself need to have a lot of youth, and there's a finite point by which you can continue to communicate with youth. And you know, we're getting a little older, and we want to be able to basically get all that in. We've carved out a niche that's wholly our own, and we're very proud of that. We know what we're doing. We know we're out here to sell records, and we want everybody to have a good time. But at the same time, we believe that within the framework of you know, selling records and being on the radio and making videos, you can express something that's wholly different and deeper. And we've managed to do that and still be successful. And it's really a cake and eat it too situation for us.
I think it was Elvis Costello who once said that the reason that he made an LP of country-influenced music at one point was because he was sick and tired of hearing bands that sounded like his old records forming and copying him, and he was getting so bored with that and bands sounding like himself that he actually wanted to do something different. Do you think that's going to take a part in how you look at what Smashing Pumpkins do next?
It already has. What we were doing 4 years ago is not really as effective as it was. You know, the loud, soft bit has kind of worn out. And, you know, we have bands in the United States that are basically copying, you know, the Pumpkin, Pearl Jam, Nirvana formula and basically having hits, but it's so made it so generic that kids really can't differentiate between one band and the other. And, you know, we just want to separate ourselves, you know. We don't really need to be in the pack.
Because I imagine you're a big fan of Bush, aren't you? Bands like that.
I'm declining comment on all bands these days. I'm trying to be a Buddhist about the whole thing.
A rumor reaches me that there's an episode of The Simpsons with you in.
Basically, the concept is it's Lollapalooza, Homerpalooza or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's us and Sonic Youth, and we're not really keen on, you know, advertising or media blasts like that. But I mean, The Simpsons is such a funny show, and it kind of transcends genre and age. I mean, everybody can relate to it, so we thought it'd be fun to do.
It's like Darcy would be on Absolutely Fabulous. You know, that would be her dream show. So in a way, for us, The Simpsons was like one of the few things we ever would have done.
Now, the caricature is very good.
I haven't seen it yet.
You look frightened, Billy.
All I asked him was, can I please have hair? Because I don't want anyone to mistake me for Homer.
Because also, you've actually designed the tickets for one of the London shows.
James did the artwork for that. Yeah, he's actually a really good artist.
It is kind of funny that he does look the best on the ticket. We did note that.
Brilliant. What happens next with Smashing Pumpkins? Where'd you go?
Tomorrow we fly to Australia, and then we start our American tour on the 23rd of June, but I think we're going to pre-production before that, right? Oh, and not only that, but we have to record a bunch more B-sides.
And then we tour from July through December.
And then we'll fall over and die, probably at the last show, and
Yeah, that's that. We figure once we finally finish this year with it, because we have like something like 100 shows in America. And once we finish these shows, then we'll just die. That'll be the end.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
Thank you and good night from the Smashing Pumpkins. No. But you'll feel good about it, though.
We'll have rocked them all.
Billy and Jimmy, thanks very much for talking to us. And it's the Smashing Pumpkins live on Radio 1.